One of the members of the Personalist Project asked a question. Yesterday, I just put a little post up about St. Benedict and phenomenology, because it strikes me that there's a certain spiritual affinity between phenomenology, which is all about this receptive, reverent listening to the voice of reality.
And receptive and purifying.
Yes.
You see, the two things, you know, you're receptive, but simultaneously you're conscious that you have to eliminate prejudice.
Yes. So I just mentioned that, and I quoted the first lines of the rule of St. Benedict. Listen with the voice of your heart, my son. So I said that it seems to me no coincidence that Dietrich von Hildebrand and many of his disciples and followers were also Benedictine oblates. And someone raised the question in the comments afterwards. He said, I thought I had heard that Dietrich von Hildebrand was a third order regular Franciscan.
He was.
Oh, okay.
He was, and then he became a Benedictine later. When he converted, he was a third order Franciscan.
That's something I didn't know.
Well, you know, I tell you, because he became a third order Franciscan, because St. Francis played a crucial role. Number two, because the priest who brought him to the church was a Franciscan. And, you know, mostly, I'll say, because of his love for St. Francis. He always said St. Francis is a greater saint. I mean, because there's nothing that you can criticize. Sometimes you say, well, this is strange, or he's doing that too much. I mean, but later on, he discovered the liturgy. And as I told you, if you were to say to me, what was Gogo's spiritual food from 1914 until the very end of his life? The liturgy. And therefore, liturgy and personality is a key work that you cannot understand Gogo if you do not understand liturgy and personality, because he tries to show that is so beautiful about Benedictine is that you don't force your will, which is a little bit the danger of some of Jesuits, you force it. In the other case, you let yourself be fecundated, what he called the prayer, the liturgy is a prayer of Christ to his Father. And by joining it, one very fine day you discover that your personality develops and unfolds. And therefore, there are two methods in spiritual life which are not contradictory. I mean, possibly both of them are necessary. One of them is very strongly emphasized in the Jesuits. You know, you do something, you force yourself, your will is in your power, with a certain danger of stiffening and hardness. The other one is a Benedictine way, which is much, much milder. You know, because the liturgy becomes your breathing to God. That is a way of doing it. And one very fine day you discover that some crucial features of the personality have changed you, which doesn't mean that you eliminate the will, which doesn't mean that you eliminate asceticism, but it's not in the foreground. I mean, for example, I read the rule of St. Benedict every, you know, 3-4 times every year, and there's very little emphasis on penance. But I mean, the penance is simply this unbelievable discipline that every moment of the day is arranged by the rule. You do this to this time and so on and so on. And this implies a certain of dying to yourself. For example, you're writing a text and all of a sudden the bell rings. Saint Benedict says, you stop this very moment, even if the word is not completed, which is very difficult, because you say, no, just one more moment and finish it. So, I mean, this enormous, enormous discipline, but mostly receptive and contemplative. You see, so this is why, but he became a Benedictine oblate. We became together when we got married. But I mean, as I said, it was his love for St. Francis, the book he wrote on St. Francis, first book after his conversion. We have it.
Oh.
You have it.
I haven't read it. Is it in?
Yes, but you have it.
Okay.
You see, and, you know, he said to me that was my gratitude to St. Francis for what he had given me. And to the very end of his life, you know how often he went to Assisi? 27 times. It was for him like a magnet, because we went to Assisi together. It is amazing how this little town has kept the spirit of St. Francis. You see, in some way more than Siena, St. Catherine of Siena. You know, it's only a small circle, but apart from that, it's much more modernized. Well, Assisi is still the Assisi of St. Francis. So this is what I said. No, he also loved the Jesuits, but it would not have been his vocation.